From an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, it's time once again for the long shot. Tonight, pick pockets, the Manson Ranch, the Dahmer Ranch, throat cancer, and squares versus circles. And now, please welcome the host of the Long Shot, Sean Conroy.
Thank you so much. Good desk, and welcome to the Long Shot. It is a pod cast to which you are listening.
All tickled by that. It was very nice.
I like to switch it up. I'm your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show, Jamie Flam is here.
Good desk.
Did you just do a weird in and out Australian thing?
No. I said it normal.
Did you?
But I always
good desk.
Joe Wagner is here.
Good desk.
And of course, as always, Amber Kenny is also here.
Good desk.
If you've never listened before, clack.
If you've never listened before, we've never done this before. Not the podcast.
And we're not going to explain it.
Everyone say good desk.
I'm a floor warden at work, and there's two other floor wardens.
You work in a prison.
What does that mean?
Great question. I realized that didn't mean anything. Like, I'm like safety warden.
Fire drill duty, yes, kind of,
yes,
stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes. If there's an emergency.
Right.
I gotta save everybody.
Got it.
But the other, anytime I run into other wardens, we always salute and go, "Warden." it's so fun. Right. Warden.
It's good that you all know who each other is.
Yeah. Hello, warden.
Will you keep that title with your promotion?
Oh God, I hope so.
How come you never see a good warden in the movies?
Because it's not an interesting story.
Oh. They're right. Always bad guys.
Right. You don't want to see a movie about someone a prison where everybody's bad and the warden is a nice guy. Everybody belongs here, and he's really nice to them.
the sweetest. He brings in fresh baked cookies.
The end.
All right. Well, here's another episode we're doing now. And
prove it.
What we decided was that today we would actually do something we haven't done in a bit of a while, which is talk about various themes.
Okay.
Various light motifs. Just an idea that would run all the way through segments of the episode that with which, in which, on to which people can all layer their own ideas.
Mm-hmm. I'm a witch.
So why don't we start today? Oh, the first thing we thought we'd talk about is theme parks. And I guess my first question, open to the floor, is...
Are they good?
What define...
Yes, so or
that's
no.
Of course the fear. This is what I was saying before you got here, Jamie.
Theme
is that
parks are
we
good.
Pick these themes that are like sandwiches, and everybody goes, "Oh, that's going to be great!" And then we get to it, and it's like, "I like sandwiches. Me too." Okay, that's our show, folks.
That was our first episode ever.
Chimes of cookies.
Was that seriously the very first one? Was chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah, I don't think it saw the light of day.
No, it was like a bonus feature. We put it out, but then we took it down.
And because we're all like, cookies are
could
good.
That be like maybe a fun Patreon thing to release? Like the first Lo Chapeau?
That's what I like about Joe. He's always looking for ways to make money.
Just hand him something.
Yeah, oodles of it. So much.
Kugel.
I thought you were going to say joodle.
Nope.
Okay.
Nobody knows what we're talking about because that was the last episode.
Yep.
All right. Well, we thought we'd talk about theme parks, but what is a theme park? What makes a theme park a theme park? Don't say a theme.
Well,
that's a personality.
That's a good question.
Thank you. Stumped ya.
It seems.
It sounded like you were going to talk.
Well, no. Because you can either think of the largest ones, your Disney Worlds, your Sea Worlds, your World Worlds, but. Then you have the small one. You have the tiny
one?
Local ones. You know, like there was one in Northern California that was very famous for a while. I think it was called like Santa's. What was it called?
Santa's Village.
Santa's Village.
That's up like an Arrowhead.
I think
that's definitely a theme park.
What is it? Was it rides and stuff?
It was rides. It was rides with a Santa Village theme?
I think themes is an okay answer.
You have to, I don't think it is.
A theme park.
Generally, there is a theme.
Yes, yes. It's a park.
You motherfucker.
With a theme.
Give me an example.
Santa's Village. And we're off and running. SeaWorld. Things of the sea. Mm-hmm. Disney World. Things that this guy Disney liked.
All right.
And came up with.
So I fucked up by asking that question.
You sure did.
But let me phrase it a different way.
Okay. Adventure Island. Water.
There are certain expectations you have when you go to a theme park.
Right. Mm.
What are the expectations? Do they have something to do with the fact that it is a theme park, or do they have to do with the fact that it is a theme park, or is it because theme and park are both part of what you expect?
You expect rides.
Period.
Correct.
I'm not done.
No, there's more.
There was a comma big time. There was an implied comma. You expect rides. You expect maybe a show or some sort of amusement. You expect food, usually not good for you food.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the list.
I think, Sean, the answer to your question is, I think a few decades ago, I think theme parks were more popular.
This is the most heated we've ever gotten.
We're more popular. And I think now we're coming into a time where theme parks are more popular.
But why the park then and the theme now?
I would love to hear this.
The park then, because people just wanted, I think more people just wanted to go on rides. Just give me a ride.
I want an experience. My life is dreadful.
Mm. Yeah, and whatever the theme is, who gives a fuck, but I just want to go have some fun on a ride.
That's true.
And eat some Dole Whip.
Ugh.
But
what the fuck
now,
is Dole Whip?
Oh my God, Sean, you have to have
some.
Oh,
I had it with you.
I've never even heard of it.
It's like a pineapple ice cream.
We had it on the way to Arizona. Or on the way back from Arizona.
Oh. They're delicious and refreshing. But now, I'm just going to throw out now.
I was barely breathing.
For example, here's a current.
It was a good trip.
Here's a current theme park that is very popular right
Don't
now.
Say
I've
Legoland.
Never been. I think, Amber, you've been. The Harry Potter?
I've been.
It's not a theme park.
It's Universal Studios.
It's part of Universal Studios.
But it's a theme park.
What I'm saying, it's a theme. The theme is everything Harry Potter.
Like Universal Studios as a theme park is a cop-out to me because what's the theme? Universal.
Right.
Movie.
Be specific.
That's what they're doing now. They're going for a niche, like a huge niche, obviously, Harry Potter. So if you go to Harry Potter land, what is it called?
World.
The Wizarding
World of Harry Potter. That means you want to see everything from the books, from the movies. You want to drink the butter beer, right? Or whatever the
blended butter beer is.
So, it's like, I think themes are the way people are being brought into the parks rather than just the like, hey, I just want to go on a ride.
Mm. Mm. But do they have roller coasters at this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They do. Okay.
I don't know what we're like.
This is my favorite episode ever.
No, I'm interested to find out what things are and why they are the way they are. I'm sorry that I have an inquisitive mind.
No.
I apologize for wondering about things, for seeing the world from different people's perspectives. Hey, I should just live in my fucking bubble, Sean, and not give a shit about what anybody else thinks about any goddamn thing. Yes.
Sean, I wasn't upset that you asked the question. I love that you asked the question. I was laughing because it felt like we had a long conversation, but I still am unclear what.
And this is why I asked in the first place, because I don't understand. I don't get it. I think sometimes it's good to take a step back and go, wait.
What are we doing?
What are we talking about? What do we mean? Here's the thing. People don't necessarily understand what the other person is saying half the time. You think you're telling me something, and I'm hearing exactly what I want to hear.
That's so true.
I went to Starbucks this morning. This is what happens to me every time I go there. Sometimes when I'm going to Starbucks, I say, I'm taking a drive, and then I'm going to be somewhere for a while, so I want two things. I want a coffee for the drive, and then a coffee for when I'm there. Mm. So I order a tall coffee and a grande coffee. And every time I do it, every time I do it, I very specifically say I would like a tall coffee and a grande coffee. And every time I do that, the person goes, great, tall coffee and a grande cup. And I'm like, no, 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 no. That's not what I said. So what I'm saying is we try to communicate with each other, but people sometimes just hear what they want to hear so instead Starbucks. Of listening if, to the other person.
Starbucks is a theme park.
What if you start saying, I'd
don't
like...
Don't put it on me, Amber. I know what you're going to say. What if you started saying, I want a grande coffee and a tall coffee? Yes, that would probably work, but that's not what I'm interested in doing.
I wasn't going to suggest that.
Is this a theme park right now?
It's definitely a goddamn ride.
We're on a ride for sure.
I was going to suggest you say, I would like two coffees, one grande, one tall.
Okay, forget everything I said.
That's problem solved.
I'm centered again. That guy. I was off the rails for a few minutes. I apologize.
I think,
but you're right. I should say I would like two coffees. Just hold up two fingers.
Yes!
Two coffees. I would like. This is how I would do it though. Is that this is when I get? This is when I turn into my mother basically, right. And I go, I would like two coffees. One,
the first,
a tall coffee, and then let me be clear, a second coffee, which I would like to be a grande. Thank you.
Got it. Tall coffee and a grande cup.
Two Trenti Frappuccinos.
Just as an experiment, and I hate it when people ask listeners to do stuff, but if you're listening to the show and just for a goof, go to Starbucks and say, I want a tall coffee and a grande coffee, and just see how many people get
right. The
response of like, great, tall coffee and a grande cup.
Also unrelated, Sean does own stock in Starbucks.
I mean, that would be related either way because it is Starbucks. So
well, that was the joke, possibly.
Well, you know.
So the thing that I do is the tone of my voice. I don't think it's the volume. Mm-hmm. It's like the frequency it is at. In restaurants, people cannot hear me. Almost ever.
Right.
So when I, like, if I'm at a bar, I said restaurant, but if I'm at a bar and I'm trying to close out my tab, because people have noticed that I do this and they've made fun of me and I didn't even realize I do that, I always go, last name's Kenny, Kenny with a K, and I do the sign language for K with my hand. Mm-hmm. Because A, they can't hear me almost always, and B, Kenny could be Penny, Tenny, Dent. Like, it could be every letter of the alphabet. Mm. So I'm just trying to make it as clear as possible. They probably think I'm a fucking asshole, but that's what I do.
Well, luckily, all bartenders know sign language.
Well, it looks like a K.
It does kind of look like a K. But here's what happens to me is I go, last name is Conroy, and they go, Kenny? So I don't know. There ain't no winner.
Conroy with a Kenny?
Two bills.
I would like my bill, please, and please place it on my... Yeah, I don't yell at people for real. I just get very slow and measured in my tone, which is almost scarier to people.
Worse, yeah.
You know? I did it at work yesterday, and this kid was sitting in on the writer's room, and then he fucked something up, and I let him know that he fucked it up. But just like that, like, here's the thing. You need to understand that sometimes people need you to do this.
And I have a knife in my back pocket.
My assistant was like, he's not going to come back for the afternoon. And he didn't. And I was like, okay. Can't stand the heat. Anyway, Joe, tell us about a theme park.
Well, I grew up in a...
This is the best episode of my life.
I grew up in a state that is filled with theme parks, Florida. Mm. And I
the theme park state.
A theme park state for sure. I grew up 3 hours away from Orlando. So over the years when we had family and friends visit from Colombia or other countries, we always went to Disney World. So I think I probably went at least 17, 18 times to Disney World growing up. It was just a tradition and I loved it. It was great. But there were so many other theme parks that actually I remember more vividly because Disney World is so huge. And I mean, we went when Epcot opened, like that was a huge deal and they were fun, but it wasn't unique because it was just like you knew what to expect with Disney World. But there were other ones in Orlando. There was one called Mystery Funhouse.
Well,
and Mystery Funhouse was basically like everything that you would see at like a side, like kind of a sideshow carnival thing under one roof. With all kinds of weird stuff. Like, there, talk about a theme park. There wasn't really...
You want to talk about a theme park? that's what you just said.
Right. It didn't really have a theme other than Funhouse, like, and a wizard. There was a big wizard on the front of the building. And there was one of those rooms where you walk in and you can't stand up straight. What are the, you know what I'm talking about?
A low ceiling?
Well, where it's like, it's one of those, it's like, do you like, know what I'm talking about? Like
what was that? How to describe it?
Like they should have built it higher?
Yeah. No,
you're talking about like George Washington's house where it's like people in this time were much smaller.
No, it was just
like an Escher painting?
Yes, kind of, right. And the floor was painted in a certain way. The ceiling was painted in a certain way. So it always seemed like an optical illusion. So you would like stumble through
like in a ghost town.
Right, right.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't. Right, right.
And it was 3D.
Well, I mean, it seemed like something.
It was a spoon.
That was fun. I loved that room because it was.
You don't like to stand up straight.
Well, you would walk in. I like crawling.
It was the one time your mom didn't say, "Joe, stand up straight."
Because you would instantly be off balance. Mm-hmm. That, however the room was built, you would be off balance, and it was really fun. And then there was like a room where you'd go in. I mean, like I don't even know how they'd get away with this now. You'd go in, and they'd usher about 20 people into this room, and then the lights would go out so that it was pitch black, and they would have like a scary voice. I don't even really know what the point of it was. He would talk like the voice would say something about wind and then they'd blast you with like wind or something.
We are on another plane where there is a very scary wind.
Scary wind.
And as a kid, I just very distinctly remember I'm standing there in the dark and I feel like a tug. And on the back, like in my back, and I was like, oh, I don't know what that was. Maybe somebody just brushed by me. And then, of course, 2 hours later, I put my hand in my back pocket, pull out my wallet, and it was gone. And I was like,
wait, you pulled out your wallet and it was gone?
I put my hand in my back pocket to pull out my wallet.
Well, you went to pull it out and
it was gone. And that
two coffees.
And I remember thinking like, oh, that's the best. Like, I was pissed, but I was like...
So this was just a room for people to get robbed in.
It was, because it would just go pitch black. Like, there was not... Like, I remember as a kid, like, I was probably like 12 or 13. Oh, and I had one of those great Velcro 80s wallets. You love so much.
Fuck, whoever stole that.
But then at the end of going through the weird room.
And you had just gotten paid, so you had like $8 in there, right?
I could have lived for almost 2 years. So it would end with a big arcade and mini golf. It was just one of those places where I can't imagine it's still open because it was...
Corporatization of America has made sure that place is not still open. But that was just some mom and pop kind of like, this is our dream.
Exactly.
We're going to incorporate everything we possibly can
arcade,
that I loved as a
mini
kid.
Mini golf, and we can build a couple of weird fun rooms. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I probably loved it even more than Disney World. Like, Disney World was just a different experience, and it was exhausting and everything. But that Mystery Funhouse, we always would swing by there. The other big one in Tampa was swing by. What would swing by?
Swing by for 45 minutes.
That was back when Joe lived in the trees.
The mangrove trees. The great segue. Speaking of trees, the other
hey, we're in the neighborhood. We're just swinging by.
The other
how's that weird room?
Theme park.
Oh, it's you guys again. Welcome. Welcome to the Mystery Fun House. That's the wizard. Go ahead.
The other great theme park that I grew up with was called Busch. I think it's still there. Busch Gardens, which was a cross between roller coasters, rides, and a giant zoo is basically what it was. And
a giant zoo or a giant zoo?
a large zoo. Hmm. And so they had... And Busch Gardens, right next to it, was Adventureland.
Let me out of zoo. Here I come.
You know what to talk to plant. there was a giant section of the park.
Oh, no. A giant section a giant...
Fuck.
Oh, God. The heat.
Okay. There's...
I'm sorry, sir. You're not allowed in here.
There's a substantially sized portion of the park that was old style... What? Do they say arcade games? Like throwing the ring toss like on glass
carnival bottles? I mean, technically that is an arcade game, but not the way we think of it.
Right.
Them.
This was like old... like
the old-timey arcades.
Yeah. And this, again, very vivid memory. We were there with some family friends. And so it was one of those ring tosses on glass bottles that is like practically impossible. Like you could stand there for hours.
Well, they're set up for you to lose.
Yes, right.
They're greased.
That's why they call them carnival games.
Yeah. And it was, and you could just see that people would come. Well, they didn't, they'd watch other people do it. They're didn't get it. They didn't get it. I'll get it. And then be there for another 20 minutes.
It's like a psychological trick.
It really is. Right. Clink, tink. And I'll never remember that sound. It was like tink, 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 clink, tink, tink. Like just all these people throwing these little rubber rings at these, and it was set up in that
Joe
way
was
where it's
just
like
beatboxing, by
like,
the way.
Like 50 clink, bottles. Tink, it was like tink, 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 clink, tink, tink.
I'm not mad at that beat.
And I maybe was like 8 or 9, and the family friends that we were with, they had some kids too, and I think one of the kids was a little older. And what happened was so my mom was like, okay, we have to go. And I don't really think I threw many of these, but that one day I went nuts that we were gonna leave and that we had not won some kind of stuffed animal. Like I really wanted a big stuffed animal. And
you didn't understand how the world worked.
I really thought that it could still happen. Mm. Yeah. And like that, it's like pulling a gambler away from the table.
Right.
As an 8-year-old kid, I flipped out.
Right.
And I started crying and crying and screaming, and nothing would calm me down. And I remember the other kid looking at me like
dude,
like when you're just a couple years older enough to be like, yeah, you really shouldn't be acting like this. Yeah. I was so... And then years later, I remembered it, and I was like, wow, I felt so stupid that I had reacted so poorly. And I think for that reason, I never, ever threw a tantrum like that again. Because it was... I realized for myself how dumb it was to just keep screaming and yelling and crying and stuff. But... I was devastated that it was like one more ring and we're going to get that giant bear or whatever it was. And I cried.
It was a giant bear.
I think it was a giant bear. But
wait, was it a giant bear or a giant bear?
It was a
I guess that's the same thing.
Yeah, really. Bears are pretty big. Yeah.
It was almost 8 foot tall.
Bad distinction.
Very hairy gay man.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
And then Adventure Island, loved Adventure Island because it was a water park. But what
it
reminds me...
Like water slides and stuff?
Water slides. Adventure Island was a beautiful water park. And it did...
I would not get that from the name.
No, me neither.
It was beautiful.
I'm not criticizing your evaluation.
No, I know what you guys are saying.
I'm saying
seemed fairly obvious.
The
and
theme is not adventure. The theme is water. So it was related to water, not
right. It wasn't like rides with
we're gonna joust and what I would think of.
No, this was.
When you said Adventure Island, I was thinking of Disney World, which is not Adventure Island. What's the
Pleasure Island?
Pleasure Island.
No, Tom Sawyer's Island.
Tom this Sawyer's did not Island. Happen at Adventure Island, but because I was so comfortable at water parks growing up, I think I've mentioned this before, but it was at a water park Europe in the south of France that in the wave pool, I tried to touch a German tourist woman's breast.
What? I don't think you have mentioned that before.
I have. I was like maybe 13 or 14 with crazy boners happening all that day because there's literally like topless 17-year-old girls walking around. And
where was this?
This was in the south of France.
I mean, that's a big area, the south.
The coast, near
it's a big country.
Antibes. Near the Monaco. There.
Sean is making reservations.
My pen pal's family had invited me there for the summer, and we took a road trip. And on the road trip, the father was like, "Hey, there's a water park nearby. We'll go spend the day at the water park."
So you like water park? Like, we go to the water park. Make the lady
erection. Because I had to stay in the wave pool because my boner wouldn't go down. And I'm in the wave pool for
hours. So ironic
hour
that when you're
hour.
Young, it won't go down. Now it won't go up. You know?
It's the worst. It's the worst. But it wouldn't. If this is something young men know. It wouldn't go down. And there was a woman with some of her friends. I was like, I bet if I'm in the water close enough with the waves going and the jostling, that I bet if I just put my hand out, I might feel a boob. And that's how I did it. I wasn't like, gonna go touch the boobs. I was just more like, I would just hope I'm lucky enough that if I keep kind of treading water and flapping my hands, I might touch a boob. And I think I tried, but I wasn't even sure if I did. I was so scared I swam away so quickly because I thought maybe her friends would see me trying.
And you failed.
What?
You failed.
I think I failed, yeah.
I think that's good because you could be in a prison in Monaco right now.
I would say
did you have a specific target, though?
Yes.
She had very good boobs.
She had bigger boobs. So
bigger boobs. Bigger isn't always better, by the way, buddy.
Surface area, I thought I had a better chance of just putting my hand out.
And, larger target.
Yeah.
I think you touched the boob.
I don't know. It was one of those things where as soon as I thought I had... I freaked out and I tried to swim across.
By the way, that makes me think of something. Your description of yourself, the way you didn't do it, and singing the Jaws theme like that. I had a depressing realization recently, which is Captain Quint in that movie. No, not Quint. What's his name in that movie? It is Quint, right? Yeah, Quint.
Yeah, the old guy,
Robert Shaw, the old guy.
Correct.
Younger than I am right now.
Are you kidding me? No. In that movie?
I love that you called him the old guy because that set me up perfectly for what I was going to say. In that movie, he is younger than I am. I mean, I think he lived a harder life and he died within a couple years of that movie. Yeah. That's still insane to me.
That means he's fairly close to my fucking age.
Yeah. I mean, he was like 50 when he made that movie.
That's wild.
One of the great... character performances of all time. All right. Jamie, tell us about theme parks.
What did I write down?
I don't know.
I saw you scribbling.
I did.
Childhood memories, boobs, school trips.
Antibes. Not all of us spent our summers in Antibes as a child.
I thought I wrote more. Clothes and dream. Chocolate cake.
Come on.
Museum Mechanique.
Don't just throw out a word salad.
I think I told this story before, though.
Doesn't matter.
Nobody here listens to each other.
Just going to Magic Mountain and the kid from Monster Squad, who's famous for saying,
God, you
kick him in the
nards. So obsessed with nobody celebrities.
I'm not obsessed.
You were as a kid.
But you reckon, how old were you?
What's Monster Squad?
Monster Squad is a great movie about a bunch of kids that form a monster squad.
Like, I disagree with the first part of that and agree with the second.
Goonies with Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman.
And the Mummy, maybe.
And the Mummy.
That sounds better than the Goonies.
It's a pretty fun movie.
I got to see it.
Oh, and the Wolf. Well, you said Wolfman, but there's a famous scene where the kid, he's kind of the fat kid in the movie, kick the Wolfman in the nards. The kick the wolf. It was in the commercials for it. It was like, right. kick him in the nards.
And that just resonated with you so hard that to this day you think about that.
I think I've told the story on this podcast before.
The kid in the movie does, and the wolfman goes down, and then the fat kid goes, "Wolfman's got nards."
Right.
I love that you still see that as genius writing.
I don't see it as genius writing.
You just, it's amazing to you.
It's fun.
It's fun. So it's a romp.
Wolfman's got nerves.
I saw him. He was at Magic Mountain.
This is my fear coming true about this topic, is that there's nothing to the story.
So
Wolfman's got nards kid was at the Magic Mountain.
Museum Mechanique.
I call it the Magic Mountain.
The Magic Mountain.
You said something that reminded me of something.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with theme parks, but it has to do with that feeling of the older kid judging you.
Yeah.
I might have told this story on this podcast too, but
always apologize.
We were members of a ranch in the valley. Like we leased a horse.
This was called Spawn Ranch.
Spawn.
It's a Manson reference. Go ahead.
Oh, so it was called Damour Farms.
Damour?
Damour, I think.
Damour?
Dom and Damour. Wait, Damour Farms?
It sounds like Damour.
It does. Damour. A whole different immediate reference to it.
Your dinner, sir.
Yeah. The skeptical couple that's like, is it Damour?
You idiot.
Like,
it
Damour. Say Damour.
Damour.
Fuck you for making a psychopath reference.
So what, Joe? What, Jamie? What happened?
So...
What, whoever you are.
Go ahead, Amber.
It was a Saturday barbecue. Maybe it was 4th of July. It was a holiday during the summer.
Let's just decide barbecue. What it is.
Okay.
We won't fact check.
At the ranch.
There's not really any other holidays during the summer, right?
It's Labor Day.
Memorial Day.
Okay.
Birthday.
So big barbecue at the ranch.
A bunch of people there. I was probably like 11, 12.
And Feast of the Ascension.
There was a bunch of teens there. And
oof, teens the whole, are the scariest.
The whole ranch community.
Right.
And my mom used to make this amazing chocolate cake.
Okay.
And
does she make it anymore?
Don't know. Did she make it any Damour?
Why would she not make it anymore?
I don't know why she doesn't make it dumb anymore. She doesn't cook that much anymore. She's like one of the best cooks.
Vicky, let's make some chocolate cake. Go ahead, Jamie.
Vicky is such a great cook and baker, but rarely does it.
Not any Damour.
Demi Damour.
Was it like a devil's food kind of a chocolate cake?
It was just a very rich.
Rich.
And there's the walnuts in the frosting over just a very rich.
Love it.
And when she's making it at home, we would take liberties with just like, you know, me and my sister stick your finger in and just eat the cake, just grubby. Just
yeah, gross, disgusting. Go ahead. So what happened?
So we're at the ranch and it was public. I mean, you know, it was on a table for everyone to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember just sticking my grubby little hands all up in the cake to
get those walnuts.
Get those. Just
to just
get,
grab. Well, you just wanted
just
to
took some pieces. Cake. Yeah.
But also just, I feel like
Just the frosting.
Yeah. The frosting.
Right.
Gross.
It wasn't like the whole cake. There's still plenty for anyone else to enjoy if they didn't
care that your grubby fucking fingers
were
in it?
No, if they avoided the section I was in. I was trying to keep it to one section.
Okay.
But understandably, I just remember a couple of teens just being like, oh, come on, kid. I don't think they even said that out loud, but just knowing that like...
They thought it at you?
They were like thinking it at me real loud.
Come on, kid. Where is that coming from?
Those teens.
It's in my brain.
So, but I remember it being like a wake up call moment of like, I shouldn't stick my grubby hands in things.
Was that the moment that you became
self-conscious about everything in my life?
Maybe. For the rest of your life.
I definitely have felt a weight come off of me right now. One of them, probably a formative moment. Anyway, to those teens.
How old were you?
Probably 11 or 12. Maybe 11.
Right. Or 12.
And it goes from Memorial or Labor Day.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And it was Damour Farms or maybe another name. I don't think this happened at all for sure.
was a fever dream.
And that's my theme park story.
No, I gotta say this because this fever is something dreams. I've been thinking about recently. This is going to bring everybody down, and I apologize in advance, and then we'll get to Amber's theme park story. But
Like Alzheimer's thing?
No. The whole thing that's been going on about kids being taken away from their parents, right? Mm-hmm. Still going on. I mean, we talked about that weeks ago.
Right.
Yes.
Nothing has been done to solve this. It's still a horrible, horrible problem. And I was thinking about it in terms of like, can you imagine being like 5, 6, 7 years old, taken from your parents, and you don't know if you're ever going to see them again? And I, honest to God, the person I was thinking of was Jamie. Imagine 5 or 6-year-old Jamie taken away from Frank, Jack, and Vicky. What would happen to that kid? You know what I mean? Like, I guess to me that like made it
real,
more vivid, because I was like, that would have fucking destroyed him. You know?
Or made me work harder.
Okay. Wait a second, Jimmy. Are you arguing for?
You're advocating
kids away from their parents.
You know what? It does toughen you up, right?
I told you in 6 months he's going to be straight up like conservative Republican because he's a business owner.
I'm understanding a lot more. Thank you for thinking of me.
I just was trying to think of somebody. Like, I was like, who do I know? And I don't know why I settled on you, but I was like, of all the people I know, who would I think of that like being taken away from their parents would be such a traumatic, it'd be traumatic for anybody.
Definitely.
But for some reason, you're the person that I was like, holy shit. I just can't imagine that.
How long? Am I reunited
for,
with them?
For life. We don't know.
Oh, for life.
We don't know. There's nobody knows when these kids are ever going to see their, you know?
The Midwest, they don't.
And they don't know where the parents are. They don't know. They sent them back. They sent them here. They sent them there. Nobody gave a shit. People destroyed records. Like, the parents and the kids were on the same record, and the people at Customs destroyed those records and gave them separate records so that now nobody knows how to match those things up. It's fucking crazy. But anyway, my point was, it really brought it home for me of how just devastating that is, you know?
I think maybe the connection with Jamie was that, because I'm thinking about this too now, where there are going to be some kids that are already tough in some way to try to get through this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably helping some of the other kids,
right,
the younger kids. There are going to be kids that if what they've known is mostly love and care and support, they're the ones that are sitting there not even being able to,
they have no equipment,
understand, comprehend, like, why would this be happening to me? And I could see that. I think you have a very good heart, and you see the good in people, you see the good in the world. When bad
there's
things
a big
happen,
but coming
well when bad things happen to people like that, I think so much of the trauma is, why is the world this way? Why is the world this way? Rather than just like, we got to make sure we get through the next day.
Right.
You know?
All right. Anyway, Amber, tell us about theme parks.
I got lots of process here.
It's a tough act to follow.
Yeah. No, like I said, I just wanted to bring everybody down so we can bring it back up again.
I got a lot to process.
Mm-hmm.
we had the worst theme park to the best theme park.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to talk about the fact that a lot of my theme park trips young were with my brother. My brother's 15 years older than me, and I thought he...
Many me theme park trips young.
Yeah. Well, because I went with my parents. There were other ones, but the ones that are coming to my brain right now are with Mark. And he was old enough... Older enough. Oh my God. I can't get
him older enough that theme park trips me young.
That it wasn't like a sibling rivalry thing. He kind of raised me. He was like a uncle or something.
Right.
And I fucking idolized the guy. I thought he was the coolest person in the history of the world. I just wanted him to like me and for him to think I was cool. And so I think we had like a symbiotic relationship, because I was a pretty cute little kid. So I was chick bait like if he brought me out in public, they would come like talk to the cute little, like he made him a sympathetic character.
Right, right.
That's why I keep you around.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I aged out. But, so, about my relationship with my brother. I keep waiting for you to do that one of these times, and it plays an ad, and it...
I do, too.
Because, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, Jeff, check out this cool video. And it's like...
I've got a terrible disease.
He's like, what are you doing?
Mesothelioma really bothers me.
Exactly. You should build a website.
Right. Okay, this is a departure. I will get back to talking about theme parks, I suppose. I don't want to.
I'm with you, sister.
But the other day I was watching a YouTube video of drag queens. I watch a lot of drag queen YouTube videos. The ad before it was like right-wing propaganda about how in our schools people are being taught... like
bathrooms are for everyone. What kind of bullshit is that?
Like, that there's more than one gender, and but like it was saying it all like with that tone. I was like, before this video, like at least have more targeted marketing.
That's fucked up.
There was an article about that people are targeted,
like people who are into freaks.
To be like, it's a protest,
the reverse protest.
By the way, into freaks.
Amber,
that's on it her. Might be working.
Yeah. It wasn't. That's actually on Amber's LinkedIn profile, which is insane.
Into freaks.
Manager, into freaks.
Hey, are you a drag queen? I'm into freaks.
So you went out as chick bait.
Yeah. One time in particular, we went to Magic Mountain, which Jamie has mentioned before. That's where the Nards guy was. Didn't see the Nards guy. Or maybe I did.
He probably did. But
wait, was
him.
You didn't see any obscure 1990s celebrities?
You saw someone from Monster Squad, I'm sure. Maybe it was the vampire. Or the Nards.
You didn't see the kid from Cloak and Dagger?
I didn't recognize
that's Henry
him.
Thomas.
Whoever.
From E.T.
Whoa.
Cloak and Dagger is a great movie.
Never heard of it.
The great Dabney Coleman.
Okay, so Magic Mountain, as far as theme parks go, if we're talking theme parks, I would say the theme is the slimmest and the weakest. It's the barest bones of a organization to have scary roller coasters. Like there isn't. Right.
There are
but
areas.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like it's a theme park and it's called Magic Mountain.
Oh, that's what pisses
is
you off.
Is there magic? Not really. There's
it
roller
is on
coasters.
A mountain.
Is it a mountain? But is it a mountain? I mean, it's a hill really, right? Like it's not a mountain. Okay. It's just a hill.
But there's like the seaside area. There's the ninja was in like in the foresty kind of Asian vibe. Revolution was like the Viva, like kind of a more South American Mexico.
Did you see the kid there that Joe Green tossed his towel to in that Super Bowl commercial from 1977?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Hey, kid. I'm gonna throw out a game changer.
Okay, go ahead.
Talk. Yeah. I think we might be talking about amusement parks as well as theme parks. Because amusement...
My brain is fucked up right now.
Amusement covers...
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Mm. So you would say that Magic Mountain is not a theme park.
All theme parks are amusement parks, but not all amusement parks are theme parks.
Whoa! Booyah. We're getting
it's like it's like the thing with squares and circles. Like all squares are circles, but not all
not
circles,
all circles are
squares.
No. Correct. Yeah.
Oh, no.
All squares are 3D. All circles are 2D.
I had a hard time in geometry.
I really did have a hard time in geometry.
Not surprised.
Not shocking.
I couldn't get math. I was a pretty good student, but just math and geometry and trigonometry, no thank you.
I liked math. I like having a right answer.
So Magic Mountain, what happened?
So again, it...
Did you see the dog who played Spuds McGinn?
It was a girl dog, by the way.
Of course you fucking know that.
I was on the Spuds McKenzie Wikipedia page within the last 2 months.
I go into the bathroom, I open the door, and there's Lou Ferrigno sitting on the toilet.
That would be a big problem for me.
A giant problem. That's the giant.
A giant problem.
Oh, yeah, he's big.
Oh, you're not taking the bait.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Everybody says it together and looks at me like I'm going to say something.
Do the
I don't
thing.
Fucking yeah. dance
Sean,
on
do
command.
The thing.
Yeah.
Weave some magic.
But it's so Magic Mountain, if people don't know, I would argue it's like the biggest, scariest, most extreme roller coaster.
Yes.
Colossus.
With, again, less of a theme. I'll take your bait. I think each of the rides might have a theme, but the park itself doesn't have a theme.
Overall, no. But I think you'd be surprised if you looked at a map that there was some forethought that went into like this little village, this little area, this. There are themes. Mm.
Many themes.
I would like these parks better if some of them had more, I don't know, like literary themes. Like, let's have a park where the theme is like, the sadness of unrequited love.
Ooh.
Or like the decline of empire over the course of time or something like that.
Isn't that a theme park we're all living in every day?
Yeah, that's Rome.
Wow.
That's a good point. You're talking about the unrequited love one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's big, it's scary. I'm little, I'm scared. I'm a coward, I'm a chicken. I want my brother to think I'm cool. So I spent the whole day being like, sure, I'll go on that ride, and being so nervous and right. so scared every time. And but trying to hide it, like, because I feel like if I was with my parents, I would have just been like, I'm too scared, or at least talked out my feelings. But just, you know, the first instances of like bottling up fear and playing cool. Also, we went on a water ride where I got soaked head to toe. And it was freezing suddenly.
Was that a surprise?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Like it was like a flume ride and you sat in the front or something like that?
Right. I have like very vague memories of the ride itself. I just remember being completely drenched and completely cold. Mm-hmm. And my brother kind of having this, oh no, because he couldn't have been that old himself either.
Right.
You know, like he seems like an adult to me at the time.
Still,
but
right.
yeah, that he was like, oh no, mom's going to kill me. And he had to buy me a sweatshirt. And it was probably way too expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything's overpriced there. And it was a Batman sweatshirt. And
nice.
It was so big on me. And I had it for years and years and years. And I wish I still had it.
Those fucking water rides will fuck up your day. Your socks mm-hmm. are all wet and your
wet
shoes.
Jeans.
You're like the rest of your day, just wet ass socks going through.
And everyone's supposed to act like it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always struck by the things that really set Jamie off. Like
wet
water
socks.
Rides at a theme park make him very angry.
Well, that's one of the worst things to do. Stepping in dog shit and getting
those
wet.
Those rides at a theme park are the worst.
They
seem like a health hazard.
Just a room full of dog shit.
Yeah.
Avoid
the next room.
The first room you can't stand up in. The second room you step in dog shit everywhere you go.
And,
and they steal your wallet.
I'm like, so this is an optical illusion? No, it's not.
Squish.
My favorite sketch team.
That sketch team has been plugged more than any of our personal projects.
So that's
true.
The other thing is, in high school, I'm a little bit of a theme park snob, I guess, because I grew up in Southern California. So I went to Disney a lot.
Right.
And there's Knott's Berry Farm where we would go on like school trips to learn about the gold rush, which I feel like is a questionable tie-in.
Right.
But sure.
You ever think about it's a berry farm?
Yeah, I think about it all the time.
Like Knott's Berry Farm. They were known for making berries, and then they build fucking roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
And their berries are good.
Have you ever had that punch?
We would stop at Knott's Berry Farm on the way to Disneyland just for chicken, fried dinner. Chicken and dinner and...
You just biscuits. Swing, just swing by.
Swing by a fucking theme park.
Yeah, I'm also struck by the things that excite him. No, well, I you ever think about Natsu Berry Farm? Like I'd it's be, a berry farm?
I thought that you had maybe picked up on just on Jamie saying they make berries. Like a fact, the factory squeeze, is shooting out.
I'd be fine if I was separated from my parents.
I'm afraid not.
Totally fine.
I mean, I would not be. I don't think nobody would. I don't be. Think he's singling you out.
No, but I understand. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, not Gold Rush.
Yeah. So like, there was a lot of theme parks in my life. I would go to Universal Studios. That was my favorite one growing up. I think because I wanted to be an actress, and I thought that I might get discovered by yes. going to right. that theme park because right. I was a child. And I got one of the. They have fake little Oscars. And I got one that said Best Actress, and I was like, this is it. It's all happening for me. Right. But now, as an adult, Universal Studios is probably the worst one. It's just movies that shake and spit at you. but...
I took my parents there, and it was like $300 for the three of us.
And there's like two rides.
And but what was hilarious was, I mean, my dad does love... movies. So we went on the thing that just goes around the lagoon where the shark is and tips over and he's like,
that's the best part.
This is great.
Right.
The tour itself.
It's the tour, right.
It's great.
But they add in things like, this isn't there anymore, but this is an example. On that tour, they're like, uh-oh, here comes trouble. And it's cars on robotic arms and they dance to the Gasolina song. And it's like, that's not how they made Fast and the Furious. Like, I don't know what... You're not teaching us how you made films. This is right. not a part of anything. This
right.
is, I mean, it's crazy. I went on... and it used to be there was a guide. Now it's like Jimmy Fallon.
I know, and it shouts like at you the whole time.
Just screen. Still,
that's actually a big summer job. I know somebody who just trained. He just started doing the Universal Tour Guide thing. It's like a good... It's a fun job if you're into that.
But all of that said... Ironically, in high not ironically, whatever. Just let's get past right. this part of the sentence. in high school, I was so close to Disneyland that the cool place to hang out was Disneyland. Wow. Like, because we were too young to go to bars or
right.
have much independence outside of that. And so, like, Friday nights, we'd go and just people watch or swing dance because it was the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And for a while there, I hung with these two guys, like burnout, too cool for school guys. I was obviously in love with one of them. But like they're kind of guys who like roll their eyes at everything. You know what I mean? Right. Like a
sure. Ugh, I hate those guys.
But we would go to Disneyland. Like in hindsight, that's a hilarious place for those guys to want right. to go. Right. Like you should be above it.
It just reminds me. They didn't they just have like a goth day?
Oh, probably
at Disney.
Oh, I think
at Disneyland?
They did that every year, yeah.
They should have wanted to go to Mystery Funhouse.
Totally.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Steal people's wallets.
Hey, let's go in the dog shit room.
But we would do like teenager shitty things. Like if there was a, there's always like tours of Japanese people and there's the leader has a red flag.
Oh yeah, right.
We found one guy that didn't have anyone behind him. So we just spent the rest of the day following him around. It's funny for us because we're dumb teenagers.
And he was just like, I don't know what's going on right now, but I can't stop.
It's just funny to be like ironically detached, but still at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like you're being cool, but in yeah. the least cool place right. possible.
In the most corporate. Yeah. Like
they had that at Magic Mountain too. Like a bunch of Valley kids, like 16, dressing all, trying to be hip and cool. And there was like a dance club kind of thing.
Oh, I could see that.
The kids like all hip hopped out with like backpacks and trying to like find the cool kids to hang out with at Magic Mountain.
Well, the rumor always was, and in hindsight, it might have just been straight up racism, classism. But the rumor in high school was,
racism, we call that.
Was that gang members hung out at Magic Mountain. And I just like accepted that as fact, but like in hindsight, like why would they do that? Why would gang members go to an amusement park?
They like amusement too.
It's got a mountain and it's magic.
But like hang out, like you know that there'll be gang members there every single day.
I think, yeah.
They would, yeah.
All right, everybody listen up, Tactical Squad. We're going to go into Magic Mountain tonight. And just be careful, we got a couple of different territories in there. So
that's the theme. Bloods and crap.
Is it, how much does it cost, Magic Mountain? I've never been. Was it like one of those like...
It's not cheap.
It's not like 20
It's not
bucks.
Expensive.
No, it's not.
Right.
It might be like 40 or 50 bucks.
Not now.
Really?
It's probably like 100 like everything
oh.
else.
Ugh. But you can get a Twicket.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can go back the next
Fuck
day.
Fuck you.
It was like, okay. It's like Elmer Fudd saying ticket.
And with dance competitions, I got to go to a lot of theme parks. Dance competitions, but then also ride roller coasters. So that was fun. That was a fun part.
Oh, like you would be in like an auditorium or mm-hmm. like a was it an open
a lot
air
at
stage
Universal Studios. There were some at Disneyland, some right. a lot at Magic Mountain, and yeah, it would just be its own section,
right?
And it would be you'd have to dance. So I would spend the day in curlers riding roller coasters, take them out, do my dance competition.
You'd have to dance as the cars from Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, gasoline. But what I mean is, with that tour,
yeah,
it's under, okay, I don't know why I get heated about this, but like, if you're just a tour for amusement, that's fine, but it's in the guise that it's showing you how movies are made.
Right, like behind the scenes.
And I would argue none of those...
Are you sure? What about Jaws? Isn't there this thing where like there's the like the... Ten Commandments or the Flood.
Yeah, those are like the things. Two examples. Yeah,
all the old. I think but originally like, it was all stuff, and now no, everything they're adding.
Now it's like you go through an avalanche, but it's like when they shoot an avalanche, you don't have to be in a spinning room. Right. That makes no sense. Yes,
we're gonna teach you how Fast and Furious was made. You know what? This is actually probably pretty close to like whatever the Coke binge was that the screenwriter had to totally. Write. It.
Oh. I mean, those guys are the most successful franchise in the history of movies. 100%. So
it's my company now. Anyway. So like, I'm yeah. happy for them to do well. I might get a bonus.
Spinoffs. Yeah. You got spinoffs coming.
Yeah, I have whatever I could talk about.
Stock options.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to take a break. So let's do that. And
you
we'll
didn't
be back
go
in a
to
moment.
One.
No.
Just a quick one.
We'll be back in a moment with more stuff.
Hey, this is Brett Gelman. You're listening to The Long Shot. Love it, live it, long it.
We're back. You're listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. Today, we've been discussing theme parks, amusement parks, national parks, and parking lots. All amusement parks are parking lots. Not all parking lots are amusement parks. All right. It's time for a segment that we like to call Parting Shots. Let's go today first to Amber.
Yes. I think I may have actually talked about this on a podcast mm-hmm. already, but that listening,
doing a lot of that today,
listening to that song Gasolina, it made me think I need to add that to my workout mix on mm-hmm. Spotify. And I recently, have I mentioned Spotify?
No.
I recently,
what is Spotify?
It's like snooze.
Something you can use for snooze.
It's and I do. Believe me.
It's Spotify.
So I recently, Spotify has come into my life. I've definitely talked about this on the podcast already.
This sounds like one of the ads before a video. Recently, Spotify came into my life.
I remember because you made a joke.
Oh, I probably did.
Because basically, I never had Spotify Premium because I'm too cheap to pay for it monthly. And right. Jeff was recently offered, like, you can add another.
Some of us don't have to pay for it, Joel. Go ahead.
Did you say Joel?
Mm-hmm. Anybody ever see Risky Business? Go ahead.
Yeah.
I never saw it. So I don't know.
Tom Cruise is a movie star.
So what happened, Amber?
You just stole my parting shot.
Jamie, come on.
So hot.
We're almost there. Whole stretch.
I've definitely said this, but it's fine. He was offered like $5 more a month. You could have an extra.
Oh, yeah.
Line,
you did
like
talk about that
yeah,
before.
Yeah, yeah. And how now
next let's go to no
now every time I work out though because I curated a mix of my favorite songs to work out to, I still am like, oh my God, I love this song. Like every time I'm surprised so and excited.
I just found my old, I don't even remember what you call them, but it was like when iPods first came out, and then there was the little one.
The Nanos.
Nanos. So I have a Nano that
which
I got a long time
ago. Which is basically just a flash drive.
Yeah, right? It's a tiny little thing. And I loaded it up with songs, and I've now lost the computer that had all that music on it. So I put the Nano into my new computer, and I charged it up, and you like was out walking, and I was like, holy shit, all this music that I completely haven't listened to in like 10 years.
And you have like an emotional connection to because it's from a specific period of your life.
And I'm like, oh my God, I love this song.
Oh my God, it's almost as though I picked it out.
Right, right.
Speaking of which, I used it this morning. I worked out. I had to wake up before 8 a.m. to do that in my apartment, and whew, it was still a sweaty mess. I love a good sweaty workout, though. I hate finishing working out, and I'm, like, dry as a bone.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like...
That's no fun.
It's like...
What did I even do?
Did I even do anything? Mm-hmm. But this was, like... This was Gatorade commercial levels of, like, I'm holding a plank, and there's just, like, sweat dripping off of me onto the mat.
Like a board?
Like a cooking show.
Like a board?
Mm-hmm. That's your workout? You just hold it?
Yeah, I just hold it.
Uh-huh. Doesn't sound like you're doing that much.
But so that was fun.
Hey, a couple episodes ago, I recommended some music. Amber listened to it. She liked it.
I listened to it, yes.
And you liked it?
I did like it. And I've heard it on the radio since.
Oh, see?
On KCRW. I'm like, Joe.
What is it?
The Jungle?
The Jungle.
The Jungle.
The Jungle.
Welcome to it.
Mm-hmm. Jungle ride.
We have to get out.
Anything else, Amber?
No.
So Spotify is great. All right. Joe, parting shots.
Okay. I have good news. So I worked on the second season of a game show on TBS called The Joker's Wild Host.
You worked on the first season too, right?
Yes,
both seasons.
And the second season ended. And in the last couple days of the show, we were informed by the head writer that someone had notified the WGA that Sony was not, they did not seem prepared to pay.
WGA is a Writers Guild.
Writers Guild, correct. It's a union for writers here in Hollywood and on the East Coast. And
also in the middle of the country.
In the middle of the country, wherever you are.
But United
States.
Were
if you're a writer.
They have offices on the East and West Coast. Mm-hmm. And we found out that apparently by Writers Guild rules, writers need to be paid for every episode broadcast of a show. They paid us, which is the minimum, which is 13 weeks. They shot 20 episodes. So there were 7 episodes or 7 weeks of work that every writer was supposed to be paid for it that they were not.
Oof.
And Sony said, we're not going to pay. And I was like, oh, fuck.
You know what? I think the Writers Guild probably said, yeah, you are.
The Writers Guild went after them.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is...
Arbitration.
It went to arbitration. Sony provided a number. WGA countered with another figure. They have agreed to this, and hopefully I'll get a nice little chunk of change in late July. Something that I was counting on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was hoping for something like this. I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad. Thank you very much, WGA.
Unions, baby.
I was just going to say,
you
got to
fucking keep those unions going.
I bet Jamie's pretty anti-union.
I bet he is. Yeah. Imagine if people went to Jamie at the theater and said, we're starting a union for the ticket takers. He would lose his fucking mind.
Look at how mad his face
Well,
just got.
I'd be like, well, why?
Because you pay us shit and we work really hard and
our power
we have no benefits and
as a group. 3 hours a week and you literally just set up, break down, and every minute in between is watching shows and hanging out.
It really is happening.
He's a monster.
It really is happening.
I am progressive.
You're not, though. You're a fucking capitalist business owner at this point who doesn't believe that workers should get anything except what you're willing to give them.
I think minimum wage is a scam. Just kidding. everyone really...
Suddenly everyone was like, whoa.
Wait, we were doing a bit, but...
I
think people should be paid in bread.
Well, they're less than human, so...
Right. Yeah.
No,
if they don't want the job, there's other people out there.
Right.
You know?
But I am very quickly learning the realities of just to make rent and all these things, like, It's tough.
Right. You're getting a sense of when small business owners are pandered to by politicians who say the rules and regulations are killing your business, because it's anybody can associate with, like, oh, I have to fill out this form and I have to do this and I got to follow the law.
So you're saying making rent is tough.
But also it's like how much money we're paying. Like now that I run payroll, I see where every dollar goes. I'm like,
right.
It costs money just to have employees, and you see what I'm a liberal.
Mm. It's very hard for you to pay the rent. It's, luckily, that's not a problem for anybody that works for you. They don't have to worry about that.
Oh, snap.
Boom.
Right? It's not a problem for them.
Everyone gets paid well, but also it's like part-time employees.
Everyone gets paid well.
Let me remind you, Jamie lived in his trunk for a while.
That's true. With a Homer Simpson doll and a spice rack.
The spice rack is still there.
He clutched the Homer. One day, Homer.
By the way, I'll sell any spice that anyone wants for $25. I'll sign it.
Any spice?
Whatever I have in my trunk.
Oh. Okay, parting shots. I'll go next, and I'll just say a couple things. One is I was in New York City last weekend, and I had a nice moment because it was so hot in New York.
How hot was it?
And I was on the subway. I was getting on the subway to go from one place to another.
Classic.
And
interesting. Interesting.
I got on a subway car and there was only one guy in the car. I was like, this is great. There's only one guy in the car and I can sit down. And it was towards the beginning of the line. So it wasn't unusual for there to be not that many. But as soon as I got on, I realized not only was it hot outside, it was about 40 degrees hotter inside the car. The AC was broken. So I tolerated it for one stop and went to the next car. But as I was getting off, there was a woman standing waiting to get on the car. And I debated with myself, like, do I tell her that it's crazily hot and we should go to the next car and, you know,
right,
whatever. And then I was like, she doesn't, like, that's just weird to go, like, let's go to the next car. You know what I mean? Like,
you're like the nice guy from out of town that's saying to a New Yorker, like,
right, yeah,
yeah, it's hot in there.
And so I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to, like, say something and have her be like, what do you, get away from me.
Right,
you
yeah,
know,
like, right.
But so I went to the next car and I sat down, and then before the doors closed, she came on the car I was on and sat down across from me, and we made eye contact, and she was like, whew, and I was like, hmm. And so it was like this nice moment of right. New York connection of like, we're in this together,
yeah,
you know? And that's one of the things that I miss from New York is, it just always felt to me like a much more human city than Los Angeles. Like out here, you would never have that, you know, well, except unless you look at the person in the next vehicle from you.
But do
and
you
go,
take the subway or the bus?
Sometimes.
But that's what that, I was about to say. I feel like because of my lifestyle, I do get to have some of that experience.
But I guess what I'm saying is it's way less common out
totally,
here.
Totally.
Because not everybody is a... is a wanderer like yourself, you know?
It's okay to say bum.
Yeah. Here's the next thing. As I went home and I was at my parents' house and we had a cookout. So all my nieces and nephews were there and whatever. And it was like 95 degrees out and they're in the backyard at my parents' house. And my parents have like, this is going to sound crazy. They have like several tables with chairs around them in the backyard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
One of those insane families.
Yeah, yeah. And so I come out and everybody's sitting around this one table. I had slept for like an hour because I took a midnight flight. So I was like exhausted and I went upstairs. And by the time I came down, everybody was there. And I had put on like a pair of jeans and a long sleeve t-shirt. And I came out and my niece, who's like 17, was like, she sees me coming and she goes, why are you wearing that outfit? And that was just the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like to me, that was, and all she meant was like, why are you wearing a long sleeve
right,
t-shirt?
Right.
But just that she said that
right.
was so fucking funny to me that she would be like, why are you wearing that outfit? Like the worst thing you could ever hear from a teenage girl. And then here's the last thing is, this is a weird moment. I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience. But I go to bars by myself sometimes. And when I was in New York, I did that. And I was just sitting at the bar, like sipping my whiskey, which I love to do and whatever. and it was not crowded. It was a dive bar in the middle of Times Square. And, I do miss New York, even though it was a nice time in New York, because I realized, oh, I actually don't want to live here again. Like, I like California, and I don't want to be here anymore. But I was just sitting there, and it was this moment where a song came on, and it was so evocative to me. And I was like, I just wanted to tell somebody about the song. And I was like, I can't do that because nobody would give a fuck. Like, it was that song, Angel of Harlem from Rattle and Hum by U2.
Yeah, U2.
And the only reason it was so evocative to me was because I heard that album when I was in Dublin in 1988, was when it came out. And that was back when you had headphones at the record store, and you would put the headphones on and you could listen to each track and whatever.
Right.
And so I can very specifically remember being in this record store in Dublin and listening to the entire album. And, you know, it was right when U2 was about to become superstars, right, and they had been touring a lot, and they were pretty big in the States, but not to the level they would achieve in the next 3 or 4 years. And it just, it created a lot of topics of conversation in my head. And I was like, oh, it's that weird moment where you hear a song that probably nobody in the bar even remembers that song, you know? And you're like, oh, this and this and this and this. And so what I'm saying is, I am older than Quint from Jaws. So that's my parting shot. Jamie!
I have a little quick story that I have reservations about sharing, but I'm just going to share it.
It's pretty par for the course, right?
I guess so.
This is a safe space.
I was at the theater, and there was a big shoot happening. And so I was just in my back office, and one of the producers on the shoot comes in, and they're like, there's a couple of people here to see you. You have a couple of visitors. And I was like, I don't expect anyone. Do you know who it is? And he's like, Val Kilmer? And I was like, okay, I mean, does it seem like someone's playing a joke or something? He's like, no, I think it's Val Kilmer. And so
that's the thing about LA. When they say it's Val Kilmer, it's fucking Val Kilmer. Wow.
So I go to the lobby area, and I see my friend Samuel, who works across the street and does a lot of stuff at the theater, and is like, hey, I just was in the neighborhood. I just want to drop by. This is Val. And I was just thrown because Val Kilmer does not look like Val Kilmer right now. And it's very sad. I think he's been going through throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And
he has been?
Yeah.
So oh, wow. He looked different. He was kind of hunched over.
He's probably been on some kind of chemo or something. And
a lot of things. And
gained
it was just
some weight. And
he was definitely, it was the opposite. It was like very thin.
Gone,
and also his voice was very weird. And right. He kind of made a joke, because I couldn't understand much what he was saying. He's like, oh, I've got a frog in my throat or something, but it was clearly more than that. But I didn't mention it, but it's just like when you're expecting something, you don't see it. So trying to calibrate, what am I?
Yeah.
This is Val Kilmer. Well, he looks. I didn't recognize, and then when I realized it was, and then just trying to be normal,
be cool, right,
and be cool. And it was like
he's what happened in the Saint.
I never saw the Saint.
No, I'm saying you should have asked him.
He was a spy.
Oh, right. But it was and I had a reservation about sharing just because it's like,
you're not supposed to tell people when celebrities come around.
I'm a Nard guy. I'll talk about all day, but also just and they were promoting, he's still doing the show. He performs as Mark Twain.
Yeah.
And it was just, so they gave us a poster and
two episodes in a row, Mark Twain comes up.
Wow. I did some research because I didn't know. I was like, I have to find out what happened to Val Kilmer.
That and it seems like he's recovering. For a second, he started to think about when it came up the last time, then realized he couldn't think of it. Then he just kept going with his story. Go ahead.
2 weeks.
It's an improvement.
Like 2 weeks earlier, there had been news he'd been recast as his role in Top Gun, which they're doing a remake of.
Iceman.
So hopefully he's just on the road to recovery, and it's just seeing him at a very vulnerable time, and that's why I hope it's not sharing the story is weird, but just
he just wanted to see the theater. He was
visiting this nonprofit across the street, and so they were just walking to MacArthur Park just to walk around, and he's I'll show you this theater. So it was just
nice.
It was cool. I mean, Val Kilmer is like so iconic, and
he's had an interesting career because he's done a bit of everything, but
I just want to recommend, if anyone has never seen the comedy Top Secret, with Val Kilmer as the lead, it's made by the Airplane guys, and it's that kind of comedy.
Or
and
Real Genius.
And Real Genius is great, too.
Chocolate Mousse.
Wait,
I just saw a headline of an article, and I didn't read the article because I don't care, but apparently Al Yankovic thinks that Top Secret is the greatest comedy of all time.
Oh.
That was one of the first movies I ever saw headline. On beta.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was so
slow
long.
News day.
There was no article. It was just a long, long headline.
What do
you think? So you saw Val Kilmer?
So I met Val Kilmer. He was super nice and just going through some stuff, and I wish him the best.
Somebody once said that I look like Val Kilmer.
What? Were you wearing a
Batman costume? Yes.
What a lot of people don't realize is, and this is the good thing about a podcast, is that Amber is the spitting image of Val Kilmer, mm-hmm. but no one will ever know because this is an audio medium.
They'll never be able
medium.
To see, right?
Yeah, those photos that are online, that's not
those
Amber.
Are fake.
Yeah.
What do you think is harder, being a prophet or being a non-prophet? Like, being a prophet, you have to predict what's going to happen and people can always call you on it. But as a non-prophet, you're just saying stuff and who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying stuff and who cares?
We should go home.
I'm a non-prophet. I'm a non-prophet. Thank you.
Why are you wearing that outfit?
Yeah.
I'm
a non-prophet. All right, folks. This has been The Long Shot.
We did it.
And we're thankful that you guys listened to the show. We hope you like theme parks. We have more topics for next time. Again, these will come out every 2 weeks, not every week. Oh, what, no. Joe?
This is not even timely, but congratulations, Nathan Rabin, on his new child.
Oh, yeah.
Great fan. Woo. Great fan of the show. Great writer. Just had another child. Nathan Rabin.
Yes.
I don't know why that just popped in my head.
All right. So there you go. And we'll see you next time on The Long Shot.